Maud took aim on another of Zeal's killers with the Winchester. Mutt had caught up to her and Kate yesterday after the shootout at Hawk's restaurant. He told them Highfather's plan to ambush Zeal's snipers. Mutt had managed to separate Maud and Kate long enough so that Maud could rush home and change into her working clothes. Now, wearing her bandana mask over her mouth and nose and disguised as a man, Maud had silently climbed the roof and taken out one of Zeal's snipers. She knew Mutt and Kate were on the other roofs, having done the same. Now, she watched as Zeal dropped the bag at Bick's feet. There was a blur before her eyes for less than a second as a pale yellow cloth slipped over her head at inhuman speed and tightened around her neck. The act had been so fast that she hadn't even had time to raise her hand to block the strangle cord. She had not heard a sound from her attacker, who even now drove his knees into her back as he tightened the cord. The coin slipped into the cloth, cutting off her air and attempting to crush her windpipe. Only pure, trained instinct, acting faster than her mind could comprehend, had made her lower her head and angle herself slightly to protect her larynx from being cracked like a peanut shell. Batra's mind drifted to his next victims, the half-breed deputy and the other woman. Once he had killed this masked man, he would move on to the next rooftop. The anticipation thrilled him, and it also distracted him, so that when the masked man raised both arms straight up, and spun to attempt to face him with great force, Batra flew across the flimsy roof, the hold broken by the simple leverage, speed, and strength of the act. Maud dropped the rifle. She didn't want it now. She sprinted toward the fallen man, who she now recognized as a thuggy assassin trained in India. Anne Bonny's insistence on her reading about the various schools of killers and assassins had been one of Maud's favorite parts of the training as a girl. Gran said she had met and studied the thuggy at a safe distance. She also told Maud a tale of how the ritual assassins had almost summoned their goddess, Kali, back to the world to begin an age of horrors. Gran Bonny had, of course, been instrumental in stopping them and claimed she even crossed blades with the Dark Mother herself before sending her back to hell and saving the world. Maud always loved Gran Bonny's bedtime stories. Maud drove a knife hand blow down into Batra's collarbone. He tumbled and was back on his feet, but Maud's blow still cracked the bone. The full force of it would have shattered it. Batra's face was expressionless as he let his uninjured arm drop to his belt and freed his curved kukri knife. White-hot agony suddenly pushed through Maud's upper chest, a nail of sharp heat driven into her by a sledgehammer of force and sound. A bullet, fired by one of Zeal's men below, ripped through her back and out her chest. She observed the pain, then pushed it away. It was only then that she realized that the same bullet that hit her also hit Batra in the arm. He was now on the ground. As Maud moved away from the roof's edge, a second bullet bored into her upper back and departed in a spray of blood and some bones.